Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Passengers are waiting. Flight 00H156. That's flight 00H156. Please approach the gate. Your flight is now ready for boarding.
You're listening now to Out of Home Podcast.
You're listening to the Out of Home Podcast. Are you locked into the Out of Home Podcast?
You're listening to the Out of Home Podcast, featuring Kieran, Kwame, Yah, and Stephen.
You London boys are crazy.
I was really impressed.
Oh, we're in.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
I'm trying to make it warm.
Like, yeah, no, I no, like it.
Not like that. But like,
yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Stop rapping and re-offending.
Yeah.
No one of Patney's blending.
Kwame. Kwame, do you know why you're so funny?
Well, that was totally innocent, go ahead.
Exactly. Because you say totally innocent things, and then you get head lost.
Yeah. Just to...
It's like, oh, no, what are people going to say about what I just said?
We did this already, bro.
All right, Stephen's recording us.
We're
literally
back.
For good reason.
I know. We're great, man. It's great.
We're back.
Great to be in a room. My head's hurting a little bit. I got a little bit of a headache. Yeah.
Speaking to your mic, Stephen, please.
So when we have that Netflix documentary and you man are looking for like lost files, yeah? You saw that meme I put
this
up of...
Really thinks he's Cootie from...
Yeah, he does.
Thinks he's me. When I put that Pat Bev meme today... Felt it.
What was the Pat Bev meme for anyone that's not on Instagram?
Basically, Patrick Beverly was...
Who's Patrick Beverly?
He's a basketball player for the LA Lakers. And they were playing a game. And referee missed a call. So Pat Bev took a camera, which recorded the incident, and proceeded to march to the referee to show him what he had missed.
So the ref didn't want any of it.
No,
gave him a technical,
which is basically receipts. Like sending him off. For those unfamiliar with the game, and then so
more
I
a yellow card, but
yeah, more of a slap on the wrist.
And then what was so your framing of it?
I took that meme. I made that meme to say, you know, when you're always behind the camera creating content of others, and you never get that picture of yourself, and Pat Bev just showing, here's a camera, take a picture of me, help me.
Thank you for that context, Stephen.
Context is king. And also, we're an awesome foursome for the first time this year.
Yeah, when was the last time we recorded all together?
I think George W. Bush was in office.
You said George W. Bush? I was thinking where you're going with that, bro. I think November.
November?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wedding bells?
Yeah.
Ah, yeah, true.
It would have been that time.
How many mics did we have then?
2.5.
How did we go from 5 to 2.5? Okay, but yeah. Well, we're back.
So 2 months.
Yeah, 2 months. We now have 4 mics, so everyone is equally spread across the room.
Was it beginning of November?
We have space.
Yeah, middle.
Oh, okay.
And now we're in Amsterdam. Yeah. I mean, obviously.
Yeah, there's a reason we're in Amsterdam.
Yes.
We have been getting up to some fun things, which we'll talk about during the pod. But before we do that, Kwame, I have a question for you to ask somebody else. What is your question?
Thank you. I don't know. I forgot, but sometimes it just comes to me. Kieran, what are we listening to?
I don't even know if your mic was on, but if you're tuned in right now...
Oh, Kwame.
I think you might have been... Yeah. All right. It's calm. I like it. But if you are tuned in, you're listening to the Out of Home Podcast, a show brought to you by 4 Londoners, capturing and sharing stories of inspiring people while sharing our own in the building, in one building, in an Amsterdam building. We have 4 brothers, Kieran, Kwame, Yaf, and Stephen, who represent the Out of Home Podcast.
Out of Home conglomerate.
Yes. That's what I was saying. That's
conglomerate.
Were you going to say the same thing?
Yeah.
Conglomerate. I have a little bit of a
Congo brothers.
Today.
Congolese.
I just take some ibuprofen. So I'll probably chirp up in a bit, but yeah, my head is hurting quite a bit.
Don't worry, man. We got your back today, bro. We support you.
Thank you.
So, this is a special episode for a number of reasons. When this comes out, there would have been a big announcement from us. Hopefully, you would have seen and heard what that thing is by the time you're listening. But it's also special because Stephen has finally returned.
Finally.
From the land of the free.
The Rock has come back to Damn. Six long weeks. I was in Lagos doing a stretch.
You've come back a rejuvenated man, I must say.
I'm so rejuvenated.
Full of ideas. In actual fact, one of my favorite quotes came from Stephen whilst he was away. And I think it was, "I'm so ready. My brain is fertile and I'm ready to birth some ideas."
It's ready to birth greatness. That was off a bender as well.
Bender.
Should I say bender or should I say clubbing? What you call it, clubbing? Tell us what you call it there.
Clubbing. Oh, I don't care about clubbing. So just for a little bit of context. There's an internal like a group debate between me and Stephen
always
about knowing your place, and Stephen has been using a term which I've referred to as quite antique. He's been saying on Friday I went like clubbing. I said, "Big man, we're in 2023. You can't use those terms. Like, you got to say raving or a dance or just name the party."
I said a dance. Like, is that ballet? Is that sugar pump? like, it's so ambiguous.
So that's why we had a little back and forth about clubbing.
But we will ask the audience, like, is clubbing an acceptable term in 2023? That would be a good poll.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you're not going to cream. Oh, it sounds even worse. But you're not going to Creamfields, are you, fam?
what fields you visited, but I just got to a club.
It's like a dance.
Yeah,
festival.
Big dance thing, man.
Very big dance festival. Like, in the summer.
That's clubbing, isn't it, bro?
I would say that's more like
going to a club.
Like a session, a rave.
Stephen says, in his words,
clubbing is
going to a club.
Yeah.
So, okay. All of you to qualify as clubbing, you step inside a club and you've clubbed.
Yeah, or you're in the clubbing, so you're in the process.
It's such a strange word, clubbing.
Clubbing.
I'm going clubbing.
So clubbing. So I'm in the vicinity.
Yeah, but clubbed would have been like the past tense of you clubbing.
Say the word clubbing to yourself and think about clubbing just as a word.
It's weird, isn't it?
Or a verb, yeah.
At least you know what Stephen does on his weekends.
Yes, exactly. No, but the funny thing is that you lot were with him, but I don't think any of you also believe that you were clubbing that night.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway.
I definitely was a clubbing that night.
I mean. Yeah.
But when the lever's levering, isn't it, fam?
Stop it, man. I did bring them back out, though.
Yeah, trust me.
And as soon as I put them on, I was like, I heard the guy from America, from Canada, going, "What you doing wearing them leather pants?"
Oh, yeah. I saw the petrol station.
Yeah.
So Kieran, context. Kieran wore leather pants. Was that the first time you wore them in Canada?
Yeah.
Got a sharp pair of leather pants. Wore them in Canada. Slipped outside of the
7-Eleven.
Yeah, that for some reason that date's just imprinted in my mind. Anyway, 7-Eleven slipped outside of 7-Eleven. Why are you still laughing, Stephen? Yeah. Bruv?
It's because he watches BoJack Horseman. He loves humor in a shade of grey.
Black.
By the way, I started watching BoJack. I think I've said to everyone today.
Yeah, what do you think?
So far, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, bro, it's a good show. It starts good, then
then it gets mad.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't laugh to you, man. My head starts to pain me. Oh gosh.
And that was the first time you wore those leather pants, wasn't it?
Yes.
Before someone correct. Saying that's what you get correct. From wearing those leather pants.
Yeah, correct.
And Friday was the second time.
I've worn them.
In between,
but oh, okay. First time on damn soil, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, there was a reason why everyone was wearing their sharpest gear, and that's because there was a very special moment for us on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask everyone what made them smile, but I think we're in unison when we say it was Friday. So maybe we for can sure. just lay down a little bit of context before going over to our
Nigerian correspondent.
Correspondent indeed.
Mm. Well, Oh, go on, Stephen, sorry.
Yeah, so Friday was a premiere of a project that we've been working on for like 3 years?
Almost.
So we birthed an idea 3 years ago, and the conception was particularly long. But Friday, we truly gave birth to greatness. And what moment? And that is a premiere of a short film entitled Golden Generation.
Yeah, let's get some more claps up.
Jeez! GG for short. If you don't know, you're about to know.
Well, yeah, once you've heard this, it would be out in the world and into the ether. We would have put it out on Monday. This comes out on Thursday. So yeah, we're speaking about the film, which you should have already seen. But
A couple of times.
Yes. Put it in your WhatsApp groups.
Favorited it. WhatsApp groups.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, as Stephen said, we've been chugging away at it for the last 3 years. A labor of love.
For sure.
A labor of love. But definitely worth the moment of finally having a screening with all of our friends and families and extended loved ones, listeners and original homies at the Panics for the first time and getting that reaction.
Where's the Panics, Key?
The Panics is a post-production house who are based in Amsterdam but do a lot of work globally for different brands and smaller agencies. Post-production, for those of you who don't know, I guess is like editing, titling, sound, design,
graphics,
grading.
Yep.
They've won a few awards all over, and they partnered with us to bring this film to life. So big shout out to the crew over there, yes. Anya, Lotta. Who else could we name from there?
If we don't mention them now, we'll hopefully mention them by the end.
Yeah,
of
for sure, for sure. For sure.
But yeah, they were such a big help, and we'll talk about it throughout the episode. That was a huge moment for us. I'd probably say one of the biggest milestones of what we've done
for
as an awesome foursome.
Mm-hmm.
And has been making us smile. Stephen.
Yes, sir.
You've been away for a very long time, my friend. Well, welcome back again.
Thank you so much.
Stephen is sporting Gucci socks upon his return. And he now wears scarves that make him look like a very fashionable man.
Just trying to survive back in these European climates. You know, 6 weeks is a long time. Went back home to Nigeria. So for those who don't know, I'm Nigerian.
I don't think anyone's in any doubt.
Just in case we've got new listeners since the last time I was around. I'm Nigerian. I go there pretty often. But going back in December is a very special and sacred time. We didn't qualify for the World Cup because it didn't align with our national goals.
Or because Ghana beat you in the playoff.
Didn't align with our national goals. And that's because we celebrate something called Dirty December. And it is a time of coming together.
Shout out to Burner Boy, isn't it?
Yeah. time of coming together, partying, and just like turning up. It's like Freshers Week Fortnite on acid. And in Nigeria for the whole
Freshers Week
on 30 degrees. So imagine
in Nigeria,
all of you lot that went
for adults.
Like, yeah, all of you lot that went like Leeds Uni and stuff. Imagine that in like 30 degree weather, picturesque views, amazing club scenes, and
where you can go clubbing.
Mm. Yeah, where you can go clubbing. That rarest of art forms. It's a higher level than just a rave or a dance. You haven't lived until you've clubbed.
Okay, big man.
But that was good to go and see family again and go and reconnect. And like our families kind of spread far and wide in different continents and different countries. So it's kind of a time when we all come together and then everybody's just on turning up. So I wish I could recount all that I did. I did a lot. But a few highlights is my uncle's 70th. So,
congrats.
Yeah, no. So we turned up for that, and it's good that my mum could spend time kind of celebrating her brother and meeting her sisters as well. I went to go and see my grandma in Ibadan. Ibadan's the place where old people reside predominantly.
Really?
Yeah.
Ibadan.
Yeah. Ibadan.
Okay.
So it's like I went to, she's 92. Still going very, very strong as well. And so that's a long trip outside of Lagos. Got to go see her, and then got to go meet spend time with my niece. Time is 6 years old. And then she does.
He's doing a lot of homework checks with her, aren't you?
She does homework every day, after school.
Further proof that one might call you an uncle. In this instance, you are a literal uncle.
I see more as a youth leader, I'd say. Youth leader.
Pastor Toby.
Yeah, I'm thinking. Give me a big speck of it.
I beg you don't bring out that man, fam. Fuck Pastor Toby. You
know. Education's near and dear to my heart, so like she would do her homework every day, and then I just spend time with her doing homework. Linking up, comes going out. The clubbing scene is really, really big in Nigeria, and then it's kind of what you do. We just party, like even Christmas Day, you'll go. It's normal for us to go to like 3 house parties minimum on Christmas Day, and then New Year's was
3 house parties.
Yeah, it's normally, we start with the family one.
Wow.
We start with the family one, and that normally gets a little bit boozy after 2 hours in. And then from there, we go to the next house party, then you go to the next one, and then at some point you end up in the club. So that's Christmas Day. And then my uncle's 70th was on New Year's Eve. So
spare family gatherings and occasions, boy.
Yeah, and then so that was a turn up as well. And then New Year's Day, I spent that being abused by Burner Boy.
What?
Yeah. Steven showed me a video of Burna Boy coming out to at concert. Yeah. By which he came out, 6 hours late? Yeah. He was also in the vicinity and could have been on stage on time, but just chose to be 6 hours late.
It was a whole mad
thing. And then cussed the crowd before singing.
Yeah.
Whose song was he singing? Cusses.
No, he was cussing the crowd for a number of reasons, which he reeled off, but. This is New Year's Day. So like we've done crossover service in church. Everyone's feeling pretty optimistic about 2023. Oh, Burner Boy, New Year's Day. What could go wrong? Supposed to hit the stage at 11. Didn't come until 3:30 AM. We did a whole new night vigil, fam. We did an overnight service all over again.
This is what I mean by who's staying, bro.
Yeah.
Who's staying till 3? I'm not staying till 3.
If you knew the hassle you have to get there, you're not leaving.
Making sure that you make
some form of burner is coming out. Some form of burner is coming out.
Will be stuck in your presence.
Something is happening. Ain't going home like that. So, but before this, in true Nigeria. I'm convinced Nigeria is just a social experiment and not actually a real place, because the things that happen in that country script writers can't even script it. But so you have the big screens there, and then the displaying, and one of the organizers hasn't realized that they're sharing their screen. So their laptop, desktop is there. So everyone can see it. This happened for 20 minutes, and this person proceeded to check the Excel to look at the profit and loss of this said event.
Oh my.
So it's just bust.
Did they not know that it was on the projector?
They didn't. They had
projector.
Not the foggiest clue. It's there. So
that's amazing.
Tell me what you see when you look at me. So we're seeing the whole thing, all the letters, all of the finesse. I'm just like, I was pleading for this person to realize, because it went on for 20 blessed minutes.
And had they made profit on the night?
Oh, they're making a handsome, which only agitated the crowd even more. Imagine you expected someone there at 11 p.m. not there, but in the meantime you're looking at the balance sheet.
That was the burn. I swear you had that on your stories.
Yeah, that was a Burna Boy concert. So they're like throwing. Now the crowd's. It's also a huge crowd. Like, it's on the beachfront. It's a huge crowd.
Oh, imagine, God. Bro. So thousands.
Yes, multiples. Like, innumerous. And so like that's happening there, and then they start throwing bottles. And they're like, they're not satisfied just throwing bottles on stage now. And they've realized that there's a VIP section, which we happen to be in the vicinity of. So all of a sudden, bottles are coming our way.
In the vicinity of or in?
In and around.
So when you say our way, you mean everyone that's in the VIP section, yeah?
Yeah, around that area, around that jurisdiction. The bottles are coming in, we're ducking. And then at 3:30, Burna Boy comes out on Smoke. And he's just like, oh, there's another Nigerian artist called Sheyi Vibes who's very close with. And man said, I've been here since 9 p.m. If it wasn't for Sheyi Vibes, I would just go home. That set the tone off. People are rattled. Even if you don't love me, I love you. Even though you said, like, my mum used to dance for fella, like, it's like basically like saying his mum used to like twerk for fella, like things like that. Even though you said that like, I had someone murdered in Cubana, which is like a club in Nigeria, and there's one of those things. He said, even though I still love you, but make go punish you, and that's a big insult in Nigeria. Oh. You can't say make yeah. go, on but New
was
Year's.
Was he upset at the fact that they were throwing bottles and all of this?
No, he was upset with the organizer because apparently that's why he was late, and then he was also upset that he feels they has a love hate relationship with like Nigeria, which I find fascinating because like Nigerians believe that he's kind of like arrogant and not like Nigerians will always place Davido and Wizkid above him any day of the week.
Really?
Yeah. By far.
Interesting, okay.
So, like, he feels he's been underappreciated and that they don't kind of respect him. They feel that he gives more respect to, like, overseas fans.
And then
so
this
that,
happens and it only...
Yeah, it only exasperates him. So he's yeah. pissed because they're making accusations about him. So then he comes on, may God punish you. And mm-hmm. didn't help. They also kicked the fan in the face. The fan was trying to get onto the stage, but, like, oh. man took the steel cap toe. Oh,
and he went big boots in it.
Bangs those Bottegas.
Yeah, he does. I didn't realize that the album cover was
him literally mid stomp. You know, the previous way, you know, the
giant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's literally. So someone tweeted that was the last thing that brother saw before he got way too big. So,
oh my god!
But Nigerians in true like fickle fashion. As soon as he said, "Tell me what you see." Everybody just kind of like forgot all their frustrations, and it was pretty good. But it didn't finish till 6 a.m. Like this was a proper night vigil.
Mad.
This was slated to start at 11 p.m.
Mad.
We didn't get back till 6 a.m. He got on stage at 3:30 a.m. and that was news.
So that he could give you a show in the end. Then
oh, he had to. Fam. If you come out on that stage, you don't.
So I have a question because the people who are listening so far might be thinking, why should I go to Nigeria? Because I don't think you've sold it too well in the last 7 years.
You called it a social experiment. Your own country.
On the flip side of everything that you've just said.
He called it a social experiment. Because you don't think that it actually exists.
Most bizarre stuff happens. Like, I saw Steven. Louis Vuitton Toyota collaboration. You should go there because the weather... 30 plus degrees. Yeah. Like I had a 30 degree swing coming back here, which I'm still like dealing with, hence the scarf and the gloves. The weather, number one, the beach, beautiful beaches, beautiful water by the scene. Food, immaculate, pandan yam, eba, suya, egusi stew, all of that.
The people maybe?
It depends who you meet. Depends who you meet. You have some great people there, but you're always going to have a good time. You're going to have stories. You're going to have vibes.
Oh,
you're going to be able
to
rave, club, and go to a dance. Is that right? Go to a dance or go to the dance?
Kwame, can you confirm?
Yeah, all of the above.
All of the above. And as you know, like Nigeria has music in a chokehold right now. So we've got plenty of artists for you to kind of come and see. And we misprioritize where we should spend our money. We actually invest a lot in nightlife. So if you like nightlife, the clubs there are actually fantastic. well-resourced.
I think the dopest thing that you told me, and obviously we know, like, if you look across the world, there's some countries that, like Japan, for instance, that don't, like, their population is in danger, essentially, because they don't have enough young people.
Yeah.
But that's basically the opposite in Nigeria.
Oh, right? By far, it's the capital of youth, as far as I'm concerned. Like, over 200 million people, the average age is, like, 22. And you've got like, you have to be innovative to survive. And so it gives birth to like new businesses, new ideas, new raves, new dances, new clubs. And it's just an exciting place to be, particularly Lagos. Abuja is a little bit calmer. So if Lagos is a bit too wild for you, then you can go to like Abuja, which is really, really nice and chilled. And despite all the madness, I'll probably be there this December again.
Of course you will.
Yeah, hopefully with you guys.
You gotta bring the man then, bro.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You gotta bring the man then, bro.
So that's me. That's the stuff.
Thank you for your journal of what you experienced.
Yeah, this is a light version, and more to come on socials. Stay tuned.
Did you record like a whole documentary out there?
He basically said he did.
He did.
Yes. He's going to call it the social experiment.
Yeah. No, he actually isn't.
It's definitely a lot closer to home than you think.
we should take this one offline. It's been some developments.
Steven has literally shot another commentary. Shot a whole documentary uncommissioned. He has merch ready, all sorts, bruv.
Whole rollout.
Yeah. Listen. It's no joke.
Wow. Okay. Well, looking forward to hearing about this at some point. Speaking of documentaries.
I like what you did there.
Speaking of documentaries, speaking of people, speaking of vibes and fun times, I think it's a good segue to get into the main bulk of the conversation, which is the film.
Yes.
So where do we want to start? Like, how do we want
to... I guess we could start from where it developed from, what it was going to be and what originally, it turned into. Yeah. And I can ask you, Yaf, because like, you were like the main... if I'm not mistaken, creator of the idea of doing something outside of the pod. And can I ask you, like, what was your inspiration behind it? Because, and maybe, I think that's a good place to start.
Yeah, it's funny because on Friday, Angelo asked us, Angelo will give context as to who he is, but a dope person from Amsterdam. And he said, like, you know, the film is what it is now, but when you first approached me, it was a different idea. Like, what was, basically he said, like, what was that journey? So, I mean, obviously, we've been doing podcasts. I always get confused whether it's 3 or 4 years.
This is fourth year.
Entering our senior year.
So we've done three.
And we've been doing podcasts, and you know, for our jobs, I think all of us at the time were working in marketing, advertising. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we were like, we all knew we wanted to try our hand at telling stories in a more compelling way. Not to say that podcasting is compelling, but we wanted to flex our creative muscles even more. And we knew that we stood for our community and we wanted to champion our community. And so the first idea that we had was around this concept of royalty redefined. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I remember calling Kieran one day, and I think this is basically the start of the how-to. Like, if there's anyone listening that has an idea or wants to execute something, like... We were basically, Kieran and I spoke. I literally remember it like it was yesterday, bro. I was coming off the train at Amsterdam Zuid. I called Kieran. I was like, yo, I've got this thought. Like, where do we take this? Mm. And Kieran was like, the first thing you need to do is like build a deck. Like, put the idea on paper and then we take it from there. Because anyone who knows me, and Kieran and I, we've had a lot of conversations from like, even when we used to work in a store together back in the day. Yeah. I'll just churn out ideas or thought processes. Mm-hmm. And Kieran's obviously really good at organizing those thoughts and putting it into some sort of structure or framework. So we had that conversation, built a deck, and then together we basically started finessing this deck. And it came, the idea was around championing people from the community of Amsterdam. And we wanted to launch this this exhibition of photography of people in the community of Amsterdam who were doing dope stuff. And we wanted to drop it on King's Day, which is a day in the Netherlands celebrating the King's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And our
in
whole
April,
thing,
right?
Yeah, yeah. April, like late April, I want to say.
Yeah, April 25th.
Yeah.
Around that time.
And we wanted to drop the project on that day as a means to say, like, these are the real royals, like these people in the community who are doing dope stuff. Obviously, there was a
slight hiccup.
Some sort of spanner in the works.
Like, this
was the year 2020.
Mm. Yeah.
And April 2020 is when the world just went into a complete lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
And we were obviously unable to bring that idea to life. We had the concepts. We knew that we wanted to champion people and do dope stuff. But we didn't really have the moment to do it because it was COVID. So then... We went back to the drawing board. We'd had all this dope photography, like we shot with, we used a local, I don't even say local, but someone we knew, a photographer called Jan Kirkham, very talented guy, who made some sick shots of our cast. And we had all of this dope stuff. We kind of wanted to just put it out there, but it didn't feel right.
It didn't feel right to
put it out because we knew that
there was more story to tell.
Yeah, I think we knew that there was a bigger idea.
So I think, I'll jump in a little bit. I think when we had our photography, we were thinking about where we were going to do it, what it was going to be like, what this exhibition was going to be. And I think we had a conversation with, I guess at the time it would have been like Alice.
Oh yeah.
Alice at Wyden and... Claire at Wyden too, and they were basically like, if you want to have an exhibition, like, maybe you need to think about the why and what's the reason why we're having all of these photos put exhibited all together. Mm. And I think when we went away, we were basically trying to figure out how are we putting this together. And I guess we were talking about being from London, coming over to Amsterdam, seeing how creators work together, and we wanted to highlight these creators. So when COVID did happen, well, basically, just like, it doesn't, as you said, it doesn't feel right to have just the photography.
It could have done really well, to your point, we really could have built on what we had.
And I think with time always gives you a lot more perspective. And I don't know, one day it was like, what if we just did a film? And then, yeah.
Throwaway comment as well.
Yeah. And then that was what got the ball rolling from there, I guess. Like, all right, what do we need to do then? I think personally, I can speak personally, I was like, film's going to be tough with all of us. Like, that was my initial thought. It's going to be tough. We have four different minds, four different styles, four different perspectives on what we think is like we like and what we don't like. But I think we'd gone through...
So true, man.
Yeah, I think we'd gone through the process of maybe with stuff with like building the website and different sorts of like iterations of design where we've gone like, here's some references, there's some shit that we actually like that I was like, okay, maybe we could do it. And I think at that time, I was a bit apprehensive because it was like, I knew how much time it'd probably take. I think at the time we also wanted to shoot it ourselves. But also in my mind as well, I was like, I don't know if, because I would have wanted to shoot it at the time, but I was like, I don't think I'm ready to shoot that. Mm. And I know what I want it to look like. Even when you said it as a throwaway comment, I'm like, yeah, I know exactly what it would look like. I don't know if I'd be able to shoot it. Do you know what I mean? And I think, yeah, at the very beginning, I was very apprehensive about like doing a film of like such a big, like, I don't know, like it being such. I knew how important a story was.
Yeah,
and in some ways, if I can jump in, it's probably more important because it wasn't about us or you in it. It was about a new city you had come to and creators in that city. So you want to make sure that you do it right in it.
Yeah.
You know, like if it's about Kieran and there's something you missed up, it's like, right, that's on me. But you can live with that because it's you understand?
Yeah, like photography, cool. Yeah. Snapshot.
Yeah.
You could do, let the words do the talking.
Yeah. Yeah.
But film, moving image, locations, narrative, people,
outfits,
grading, everything, all of the things that come into making that thing happen. I was just like, I immediately went through all of the things that we would have had to have done and been like, shit, that's a big project, isn't it? But also, fucking love making things. Mm. So I'm also like,
yeah, you do.
Let's go. Yeah. Like, let's go. Like, fully down. So yeah, sorry to cut in.
No. How did you guys feel with these points as well?
I was gonna go somewhere else, so I'll let you go, Kwame.
Okay, interesting. No, I could just remember like the excitement that we were tapping into some of our stuff from work and putting it out in this was very important. I thought it was very weird to say, but very like humble of us for it to be about us, but us wanted to pay homage to Amsterdam. And I was kind of overwhelmed in a positive way. I think that word can sound very epic, but I mean in like a nice way, overwhelmed by how people were so receptive. Yo, we got this like, true, loose true. Idea.
Yeah.
We're like, yeah, like happy to help anything you want. I'm like, okay, like it's the legs ain't fully grown. They're like, yeah, whatever you need. And just always, it was always funny because like whenever I was communicating with like the cast and the talent, I was always trying to come like, trying to be as professional as possible, and they were always like, big man.
It's calm, isn't
it? Yeah. Like,
we got you.
You know what I mean? But yeah. I'm like, yeah, you know, we ain't really got that. We ain't really got this. Yeah, it's cool. What do you need me? I'm just here.
Yeah.
Okay, like we want to record a little episode in the snow. Yeah, it's cool. I'll drive like 20 minutes. Like I had it really, like things like that, like Burano, like
days, I can't
Cuba.
Believe that.
Yeah, bro. And then people almost risking their lives and whatnot. And then like shooting so many different places. That's what I loved as well. Like I remember so I'm gonna tell you about my role. Like after this comes out, we should do like some kind of like personal moment or like BTS we have in it. And there's one Saturday in Norfolk where we all rode to pre-reserved. Then we finished our thing, shout out to Willem, and we saw Aki and that pull up. And then we have they were riding to the next venue, and then like Steven's laptop is being kept open because we are like we were actually transporting files that we just took in it, and it's like this is the best place. Let's make sure that my laptop doesn't close. So it's like even though we're on the move, like we're still working in it, and it's like I kind of like that mentality that it just went so many ways and it ebbed and flowed, and like it just I love it. Like they say, it takes a long time to make like your first like real project, innit? Mm. And you're never really in charge. It's just how the chips fall. Yeah. And I think it's beautiful.
They felt so right, man.
They did, you understand?
They felt so right.
You say that, but other people might have interpreted that as, like, for example, COVID happens.
Yeah.
We could have just been like, no, fuck this. Like, let's just, it's the perfect time to launch something digitally. So put it out on IG.
So that's why I was just gonna go. I just remove myself a little bit from the conversation and just look at it. So for like people who are listening to this, obviously, when you start embarking on a journey of creativity, and we've all said that this is something that we haven't done before, that can be enough to make some people abandon a project and not go through it. So I'm curious to ask you guys, even though we hadn't done this before. What would be your advice or thoughts for people who have, like, you know, always thinking big as well, but maybe put off by the fact that they haven't done it? Like, what would be, like, the words of encouragement, or what practically did you guys go through in this process to, like, push through that kind of, like, barrier?
I think in any walk of life, but definitely in the creative one, if you have an idea, you should always do it and always put it out, because I can't remember who says it, but it doesn't exist until it's outside. Like, it doesn't exist until it's on a page. It doesn't exist until you show someone and people knows that it lives, because from there you can always finesse, you can always get better, you can always like learn from your mistakes. You know that the next time that we do a film, that there's different approaches that we're going to take. There's different like ways of working that we might do. We might shoot something completely different. We might choose a different grading. Do you know what I mean? But it's like, by doing it, you get experience. And I think as creatives and people that have big ideas and want to do things, we get scared of doing the thing because the thing seems so big. Yeah. And we think of the thing in its finished article, and we know like, oh, that's,
you think, how are we gonna get
this? Yeah, but like literally this process and many of the other processes of like different projects I've been on, it's like step by step. You might take 2 steps forward, you might take 5 steps back. Like, there was a moment when we were literally about to put it out last year and we had an edit. And we started again. We had an edit, which an editor had been working on for 3 days. And we were like, we need to start again.
But to piggyback off that, the reason why we felt so strongly about that is because we cared about the idea.
Yeah.
And I think to give you my perspective and to build off what Kieran was saying, I think anytime you put something out there creatively, in my personal opinion, it needs to be something that you actually care about.
100%.
It needs to be a story that you're passionate about. It needs to be something that you're willing to go above and beyond for. And I think you can only do that, and the best work comes out when you truly care about something.
Do you know, one of the comments that I got on Friday was that there's a lot of heart in this. You can see it. You can feel it. And it's because, as you said, we care about the city, but we also care about the people that we've featured in the film, because we've got relationships with them. Like, these are people that have either we've shared a drink with, or they've kicked the knowledge to us, they've opened their doors to us, we've broken bread with them, like we've shared thoughts and ideas and aspirations, and we also see theirs. So we're like, we wanted to handle that with as much care as possible for when someone does come out, or when this does come out, you feel that as well. And I think that's like, and I think that's like a thing that we've tried to do in our podcast, you know, like any topic, any person, any like anything that we come across, we kind of want to handle the subject or the topic of conversation with enough care. Do you know what I mean?
You want to reflect their story in the most accurate way.
Yeah, possible. Yeah, yeah.
And then on a on a practical tip, I would also say just making sure that you don't do things alone. Even if it's your own piece of work, I think having a support group is something that you always need. So I think the reason why I wasn't particularly too phased that we hadn't done it was because I thought, like within our group, like we would just figure it out. And then I think the reason why we wanted to pay homage to Amsterdam as a city is because from the day that we arrived, it's always been about like collaboration and people adding to the ideas, and then that's helped. You know, there's always someone here in the city that can help you do something. So like, I think if you are someone that's been like got an idea and thinking of it, you need to have like a support network and make sure like your circle around people that are going to encourage you or solution orientated. I think it's very important not to keep things to yourself. Everybody needs support. Everybody needs a sounding board. So like, you need the right team behind you that can help push you. Like, no man or no woman is an island. So I think that was definitely true in this process here.
That's really true. And I think that sometimes people get people don't have the support of others, or they might be frightened to ask other people for help as well, because they feel that their art hasn't reached a specific level of what their peers or the people they admire, the people that they admire are pushing out. Do you know what I mean? But I think just showing the community of artists or creativity that you are willing to put something out attracts people to come and work with you. And I think like it's just showing willing, because I think you will find the people to work with once you start putting stuff out. Because people are like, oh, you're on that. Okay, cool. Like, I know so-and-so who can hook you up with rah-rah-rah, and you can do X, Y, and Z over there. But I think without actually putting a step forward and walking with into your path as a creative, you're always going to be like, what if, or how can I?
So building off that, like another scenario, I love how I've become like the in-house interviewer. I love it. But I would say also, okay, cool. So you're sharing your vision. Also, you need to be careful who you share your vision with, because some people might not have the vision that you have. And very quickly, if you listen to everybody, it can change from what you originally had. They may have the good intentions, but they're seeing something completely different. And, you know, if you can go down a hole where it comes to be something very different. So in this process, were there any moments where we like, yo, we need to stay true, like where you had to kind of like rein it back in and be like, yo, this is dope, we're collaborating, getting ideas and sharing ideas, but with maybe veering a little bit away from where we were, and how do you manage those situations?
Do you know what's interesting about that? Yeah, like to the point again where even from the beginning, Kieran was like, put the idea on paper. I think once you have this idea in a very clear, digestible, if you have this idea in a clear, like you can communicate this in a clear way, people are either going to mess with it or not. And they're going to see exactly what you're trying to do. And again, if you care about the work, you're not going to, you're going to do the work for the right reason. So some people might have points to, like what you said, that are valid, that will add value to this idea that you have. And some people might have points that kind of take away from the reason why you're doing this thing in the first place. But if you stick to your gut and to your instinct of why you're doing this and why you want to put something out, I think that you'll keep it kind of on the straight and narrow. That's my point of view.
Yeah, I don't really feel like there were moments where we veered off from like what we were doing. I think the only thing that we did is like we took our foot off the gas during the process of it. Mm-hmm. Because, like, I think we got...
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Got to a point where we knew what we wanted to do, but didn't know how we were going to
do
it.
Yeah.
Do you remember? Like, there was like a 6 month period where we were just like, so we know we want to shoot. How do we shoot? Like, what are we shooting? How are we going to shoot it? And it was like, it got to a point where I feel like I'd moved back to London and Yaf was moving back to London.
Let's not forget.
You know,
that.
And like...
Life was life.
Yeah, life was life. Kwame had bought a house. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, Stephen, you were changing jobs, like, and doing literally every Jordan event under the sun. So like, I don't feel like the idea and like the vision never changed. It was just like there were moments during this whole process where we weren't four men on the court.
Yeah,
we were handicapped.
I think this is a good point to transition to that part, because we've so far we've spoken about the idea, getting the right people on board, but we haven't really spoken yet about how we. Okay, you've got an idea. How do you actually bring it to life?
Mm-hmm.
And I think for us, to your point, Kieran, like, that's the part where we kind of like dragged our feet a little bit, because we didn't really know what to do
at
this point. So, yeah, like, okay, so we've got the idea.
Mm.
You know, we communicate it to the right people. Like, what next?
I think for me, it was like I recognized that, I felt like, we all wanted to do it, but we didn't know how.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting one day, I was like, I need to energize Golden Generation again. Mm. And
I remember the deck as well.
Yeah.
Strong.
I'd sat with a few people that were like working on films. And I was like, oh, we need a treatment.
Yeah.
Mm. I was like, oh, we need a treatment. I hadn't written one before, but having watched and was reading some, I was like, I know exactly how to kind of bring this into GG. So I remember...
That's what it is, because you delivered that with authority. I was like, Kira's been doing bear treatments. When you
That was the first one, man. But I'd like obviously looked at so many that you're like, okay, I kind of get what you're trying to do here.
Yeah.
So put it together over one night, and I remember staying up bare late because I was like, I want to show these band on the Friday call that we have. Yeah. But like doing that and then feeling the energy again.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It was like, okay.
Remembering the why, basically.
Yeah, it's like, bro, like remember why we wanted to do this in the first place. And then I think a coincided with that was meeting Anya and the Panics.
Oh, yeah.
So then that
huge moment.
That's like a turning moment. Point, because it's like now we have a production house. And then we had people that wanted to shoot, I mean, through Clay and meeting Nehemiah, who had never shot like
something on the scale
before. And the chips lining up. And we're having now conversations about, yo, we're gonna shoot in a couple of weeks, you know?
Let me ask you about treatments.
Yeah.
Some people might not know what they are, how to do them.
Yeah.
Top line.
A treatment is a visual deck or visual document that allows anybody that's coming into a film to know exactly why you're doing a film, who's going to be in it, the main premise of it, the look and feel, And in our case, it was going to be like the episodes of what it was. But it is basically something that you can hand off to different like collaborators in the process to be like, this is what we're trying to achieve from a grading perspective, mm-hmm. from like the DOP and being like, can you get these shots? Director of photography.
Come on.
A director of photography is a person that holds the camera and like goes and takes the shots. I did another thing yeah, that like bro. Not many yeah, people bro. Know. Like yeah, you think director, you hear directors and you bro. Think a director is the person that's in the weed bro, shooting.
Until recently, I thought Hollywood was full of frauds, didn't it?
Yeah.
They were like, what do you call it? Sly Stallone, director Rocky. I'm like, big man, he's in the film, fam. How's he in the chair and in the ring, innit, fam? But it's like, direction is your vision, per yeah. se, innit? It's, and it's, DOP is the person that's in the seat, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's stick on that, because before we go into like actually shooting it,
yeah,
I think it's important that we talk about like what's actually, who's required
mm-hmm.
to bring a film to life.
And oh, what a lot those of people man. Do,
because
yeah. I remember the moment where we were having in a group chat. And we were like, "Yo, what do we even? Who do we even need?"
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Acronyms were raining down.
I think on a smaller scale, you need a director,
yeah.
a DOP, and a director and a DOP could be the same person, mm-hmm. but sometimes directors don't shoot. You need a producer,
yeah,
someone that's going to fix. Yeah. Like your talent, your schedule, make sure that you're there.
Producer's the glue. That's the one thing that I was like.
Yeah, you never, yeah.
Producer,
yeah, yeah.
okay. Producer's the glue. Like, yeah. Organize everything.
Factual. You're going to need like sound. Yeah. You need sound. That sound is important.
Yeah. So important. Do we. Goodness.
Like if you can get sound sorted, excellent. And light, you can yeah. get those two. Amazing. And then I guess when you're getting into like short films and not maybe documentary, you want someone that's going to be able to like style like and set design. But I guess when you're doing documentary, you don't yeah. necessarily have to do much of that. But those are the core, I'd say, elements when you're making a film. That,
an editor, right?
Yeah. yeah. That's pre-production, yeah. post-production, editors, sound again. Yeah.
Sound design.
Sound
See,
design.
This was the biggest thing
sound
for
design.
Me. Like, even when we listen to the final product.
Yeah.
There were so many added elements of sound in the film that brought it to life in yeah. such a bigger way.
Like, yeah.
For instance, there's a scene of a guy skipping
and
Randall, shouts out to Randall.
Yeah. Bigger Randall from Wave.
Worked on the sound, like implemented these sounds of like someone skipping. Like,
yeah, yeah.
And it just makes it feel so much more,
real, isn't
it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just builds it out. So
it builds
much
a
more.
World. Like,
yeah.
like you think about watching anything, turn it, watch it with the sound off, then watch it with the sound on.
Yeah.
It feels completely different. The sound makes you know what you should feel.
Yeah.
Like yeah. you put a scary film on, and then you play some joke man music. You're not gonna. It's not. Yeah, that's the same song that came to my head as well. Like that's not gonna be scary, is it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I guess it's like yeah. So an editor, Stephen, sound design. You want like we had graphic designers in there. Mm-hmm. Not many people have that. Motion designers
yeah.
as well. So like. It's there's a lot of people to make something look premium, but yeah. you can also scale that back.
Yeah,
like if you're doing it on a very slim budget,
like we did,
yeah. you and without the favors,
yeah.
you can do it with like cameraman, maybe sound, and an editor, and sound design.
Yeah.
And those are the things that you could probably get a film out, and you could do it on your phone mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. Were you going to say that?
No, that's perfect.
Yeah.
That's a perfect breakdown.
Yeah, so those are some of the roles. Obviously, there's a lot more people and a lot more hands on it, but top line, there's some of the people involved. And I think for us, we didn't know about all. I mean, I think Kieran was probably the most experienced in the
film. In the
He had the most know-how.
Yeah, when he brought that treatment, I was ready to back him 100%. I remember
being impressed by the font, which still kind of belonged in our like visual language. And then one of the opening slides was like, the Golden Generation, a visual tale told by the homies. I was like, okay.
Yeah, so we're doing that.
I was like, yeah, Savia. So like, even so, you had the most know-how, but this was the first thing that you directed. Like,
I've always been a part of something as a writer or, like some co-star.
Do you know what time I knew what time it was? when we were in the Adam Tower. Shout out to the Adam Tower. On the first day of actual like reshooting, yeah, let's say shooting with Tyne and Jasper and Corinna, like all sound and mics. And then Kieran wasn't able to make it. It was a Saturday morning. I think first September, I believe.
Yeah. I was back in London.
Yes, and Corinna hooked up a live feed. And
she bought a Mac to
exactly an actual Mac from my house.
I was just like,
exactly.
Yeah. I guess we're doing this then.
And then and then what happened? And then like there was so we were on the room and Kieran was like, "Raw, like there's a hum in the room. I could hear it on the mic was on."
Yeah.
Then Kieran was like, "I didn't make sense to me." And he was like, "I need you to go on GarageBand. I need you to
take a sample of the room
to record just the room, and then." Send it over to me and I could fix it. I was like, what? And then he fixed it. and then like there was no hum in the room. I was like, this guy's over a Zoom computer in Southwest London. Yeah, bro. Like his eye and ear is different. I was like, yeah, we're in good hands, fam. You understand?
Nah, but there was also moments. I think so, like, there's lots of moments in there when, like, I think last year as a process, definitely. In all of my projects, especially Golden Generation, showed me that like direction isn't what I thought direction was. Direction, I always thought like you had to know everything.
Yeah, as a director. I think and that's like, a misconception.
And you do, like the better directors, they do have like an understanding, a knowledge, they know what they want to get. But all you really need is a feel. And then can you translate that feel to somebody else that can do it for you. So if you're talking about
really good point,
actors, yeah. You're talking about like, I want you to deliver me a line. Think of the time when you felt like you were feeling like this, and can you deliver it like that? Yeah. Like that's how directors are. Direction is Yaf looking at Coco
in
the frame and being like, we need to frame her hair properly.
Yeah, yeah.
We can't cut her hair.
I remember
her hair's in our community. Our hair is very important. Yeah. And we don't want her hair to be cut off.
Cause
that's direction.
Yeah,
because you know I mean?
she could have said the most Oscar, the best from the heart speech. It would be ruined.
Yeah.
If her head was clipped.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
We couldn't use that.
Exactly. And like just little things like that were cropping up like throughout the whole of that process where you're like, okay, direction isn't what I thought it was, and yes, we can direct, you know? So I think as the process goes on, you get more and more confident in what you believe in and what you want this thing to be in.
Yeah.
And you feel confident in, like, giving that direction to other people.
And it's also mad because, like, you have to do two things. You have to stay true to the vision. You also have to be patient. Like, I think a lot of times when you hear about films, it's like, yeah, or album, it's like, yeah, it's been pushed back. And a lot of times it's like, oh, the artist maybe has had a indifference with like the movie studio or the record label. But that was us. But a lot of things aren't out of our control. Remember, October 2021, we had the 100th live episode.
Yeah.
And we premiered the trailer.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah,
yo, you man, it's coming out in 5 months. Boy, it did not. You understand, didn't it?
She came out a year later.
Yeah, a year later. Pretty much. You understand? Yeah. It's like, you're never in control, but it's like, at least we never like, at one point we were like, we need to get this out. But we also knew that it had to be the best it could be. You understand? Mm-hmm. And if we'd done it like earlier or like online release or the photography, it wouldn't be the world that it is. And I think that so some of the things that we've already heard is beautiful to hear, but it's not about us. It's about the cast and just letting everyone know that there's source in all of us, isn't it? You understand?
Yeah.
Like, just make sure that you believe, and if anything doesn't happen, don't let it be because of your your belief in yourself, innit?
Yeah. Mm.
Let it be circumstances. If you want to film a shoot with your friend in the sun, let it be because Amsterdam's having a blizzard in July.
Yeah.
You understand? But don't let it be because you don't believe that you and your people come together on a random weekend. Like.
Mm-hmm. To add to that, yeah, I think I don't know about you guys, but for me, definitely, like there was this notion of imposter syndrome a little bit. Where it's like, okay, do I even, like, we're on set the first day. Yeah. It's like, trying to find your place a little bit. Like, okay, what am I supposed to say or do in this moment? Let me just cross my arms and act like I'm adding value here. But I think, in all seriousness, once you acknowledge the fact that you don't know everything, that's when you really, like, tap into your bag. Because
factual.
You just, to Kieran's point, you have an idea and some sort of vision. And you actually need other people to do their part and deliver their expertise to help bring that vision to life.
It goes back to what Stephen was saying earlier on today. In the thing about working with people to get your
facts.
Yeah.
Big fa- like yeah. I would say that's the biggest thing. I know we've skipped over, it's hard to cover 3 years of a process one episode.
Yeah.
Definitely for me the biggest learning was the people side of things, because we didn't pay anyone. Like, we didn't really pay anyone with this, did we?
No.
And the level of product is super, super high. And I think the reason why a lot of people came on board is because they were so attached to the idea and they loved the concept. Mm. And more than anything, they, like, I had said on Friday, like, I love you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And that was so heartwarming to me, because, like, there's a mutual love being developed between us and the cast and us and the crew, just because, you know, we had an idea and we were very pure in our approach. Yeah, we didn't think we knew everything.
Yeah.
And we empowered other people to come in and do their work as well.
Yeah. So this is a great segue. We've spoke about the process, we've spoke about how we got there, imposter syndrome, all good things. But you've mentioned cast a few times and you've dropped some names. How did that process go? You've got the vision, now you've got to find actual people to talk about, or to kind of bring this vision to life, or to embody what you want to do. So what was the process of casting and finding people? There's a lot of people in Amsterdam. There could have been so many people. Like, how did we land where we land, and who are these people?
That's a very good question.
Thank you.
The reason we haven't gone too in on the details of what this film is because we hope you would have watched it by now. Mm-hmm. But
if not, after this episode ends.
Yeah, in essence, it's about six creatives from Amsterdam who are the muses of this film and are kind of talking about their journey into creativity, a little bit about what they do. And throughout the film, there's just these themes of collaboration, identity, community, mm-hmm. And these people very much exemplify all of that. But, I mean, we had a network of friends that were doing dope stuff. Did we know all of them really well at the time? No. Some better than others. And again, I think the whole collaboration point comes up because we connected with Trevon, who's the Amsterdam landlord. The landlord of Amsterdam. Like, he's just a great guy. Never wants any credit for anything, but makes shit happen.
Yeah.
Like, love the guy. And he got a feel of what the idea was and who we wanted to work with. And he was just like, say no more. So, for instance, I don't think any of us really had the direct connect to Angelo at the time.
No.
He made that happen. And that's just one example, right?
Gunnafort as well, right?
Gunnafort, he made that. I mean, I'd met him, but me and Gunnafort weren't at the level where it was like, yo, jump on this film. So Trevon played an instrumental role in almost being the bridge between this amazing idea, and this isn't me saying, like, you know, we had an idea, but like this idea that would really connect with these local Amsterdamers and getting them on side. So I think having the right people in your network who can introduce you to other people as well is a really important thing.
I think, as you're saying, everything comes back to that vision and communicating it clearly, because if it wasn't a clear vision, then Trevon might come up with some people that, you know, like
doesn't fit.
The as they're directing on set, they're coming up with like a different vision, because, so like, I think everything comes down to like communicating that clearly and having that clear, because as we go through each of the phases here, everything always comes back to that. Like, you show someone this, they get it, and then they can input. So it's almost like that initial vision that you have is the fuel for everything, because if that's wrong, or that's not quite right, or that's misinterpreted, then everything else is. So I find it interesting that even when it came to casting, again, leveraging the network, getting people involved, but those people had to understand what it wanted to do to get there, and then we ended up with like six wonderful cast members, some of them that we had a relationship
six for the
with.
Film
yeah six for the but film but yeah we did
10 11 with, yeah for yeah the for, original for photography
and everything, so yeah, 11 overall, right?
Yeah
That's
amazing. I think one thing to add to if you're creating a film or work piece of work that's around, like you're trying to tell a story, you want to have different perspectives to tell that story. And so you need to think about how can you bring this to life in a way that's diversely representative of this place or this story that you want to tell. So it's like, if we had six men, you'd probably get a very different look and feel of the film, but we were quite intentional that we wanted it to be three women, three men, yeah, who were part of this in the film, to offer different perspectives. And I think that's quite important for people to think about.
And also to be open-minded, because like you said, we didn't know everybody like that at that time. But like, you know, like Trevor was like, yo, this is the person. And then we also have to be open, because I feel like when you have a project that you care about, sometimes you can be a bit too close to a bit too controlling. And I think that's one thing that I like, that we were open to everything. Like, it's just like, okay, cool, if it makes sense, it makes sense. And we weren't like, nah, or restricted, because we could have easily been like, stick to what we know or what we felt comfortable with. But like, you know, we opened
it.
Yeah, yeah, we opened it up to like, and I think it's also because this wasn't about us. And then I think that's something that we clearly understood from the beginning. So that because it wasn't about us, that meant that we took a back seat, and it was more like, okay, it's Amsterdam, this is what the city's telling us, so it's our duty to bring that to life for the city.
And Joe, it's funny as well, like, you know, we all love the game, but we almost had to be ourselves, like, coerced into appearing in the film. Like, at one point, we were like, no, we don't want to, we didn't want to be captured.
Although,
yeah,
we always wanted the voices in
no,
there.
No, obviously.
We almost had to fight for that. Yeah, I don't know how the voices are going to work. We need the voices.
So I said,
but do you know
Yeah, I was like, it's too many voices, Kieran, just do it.
Do you know what, like, I want to build on something Stephen said and talk about the voice thing particularly, but throughout this whole process, like, whenever we would speak to, I don't know, an editor or a color grader, the thing we would always end up saying is like,
do your thing. We want you to bring yours.
This is how we see it, but you're the expert. Like, add your source to it.
Mm.
We gave them full creative license, but within a certain parameter of this is how we see it. And I think that trust is super, super important, and it makes people feel more connected to the project.
100%.
Because
they're not just working in this rigid framework. They have freedom to express themselves as well. So it's a labor of love for them too.
I think that was one of the things as well, is like, out of all of the collaborators that were working in post-production and also in pre-production, it was like, this has been one of my favorite things to work on in the last couple of years, because I felt free to do what, like, you guys wanted us to do, but I could just experiment with my own creativity. And that's such a, like, a dope thing to hear when you're working on something.
Beautiful,
like,
man.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to touch on the sound, because we spoke about the sound originally, but the narration of something is so important as well. Like, when we showed it on Friday, a lot of people said that it was great to see the cast, but it was almost like two perspectives in one film, where the cast are talking their truth and then our voiceover is helping to guide the narrative. I think that was a really interesting point for me, because I know that we spoke about it and said, like, we're going to be like the voiceover, blah, 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 but I didn't think it would have as much of a powerful effect as it did.
Yeah.
I knew, you motherfuckers.
but for the beginning, because I think us being like a podcast, I think it felt natural or right that, you know, that a podcast with visuals still on the way. So
with no visuals, but with a film.
It felt befitting that we wouldn't be seen, but we'd be heard. So in one way. So I think it felt like that. And also because it was the unique point of view that we have, is that we're four Londoners in Amsterdam. So like, hearing us, but seeing Amsterdam gave it that duality that people could identify. These people that kind of like sound like me or sound like they're not from here, talking about something that was foreign to them. Yeah. And I feel they gave it that duality.
Also, it's really cool. I think I might be like, the people that from the UK that see this, some of them are only going to be able to see Amsterdam through our eyes in this film, and they'll be able to talk about it in a way which we can talk about it in this film, but they haven't necessarily seen Amsterdam like that. Yeah, so it's almost nice that we're not in it that much, you know?
For sure.
So it's like they can also feel like they've been there and they have a closer connection to Amsterdam through us, like, talking about it.
But the process of doing the voice was interesting because, like, when I was...
Yeah, we should talk about that. I think it's one of the coolest parts of the film, actually.
Yeah, like that studio that Randall had was amazing, man. That was amazing.
But, like, even thinking about that, like, you know, like, we, you know, because we're used to this recording, but, like, he was actual giving us real, like, voice direction, isn't it? He was like, why didn't you come, rising intonation here, or say it less like... You understand? It's like, you have one line 10 times... But every time is a different effect, and how you put that together is so important. And I haven't seen the whole thing yet, but, you know, I'm looking forward to it.
Can I just give an insight into that process? Because, again, for me, that was one of the most interesting things. So, like, let's say, for example, we had to say, Kwame sitting on the couch. We would have to say that line, like, 10 different times in different ways.
Yeah.
So we'd be like, Kwame sitting on the couch. Kwame is sitting on the couch.
Yeah.
Kwame... sitting on the couch. And for me, that was so interesting to play with the way that you say something and how much of an impact it has on the end product.
Yeah.
Because it was interesting, because as I was watching it back, like, I was watching it and then I was just like, it felt like that was so different to the way I would normally speak. So I like, when I started hearing it, I was just like, I don't, but, like, for the purpose of, like, where it needed to be, then it needed to be that. But at the same time, I was thinking, like, that's mad. Like, it's not, doesn't even sound, it didn't sound like how I would normally speak, but because you did so many different varieties of that, then it kind of, like, so I think for people watching it, and they were just thinking, like, oh, these guys were trying something. I'm curious how people that speak to us all the time would, like, interpret it, because, like, when I was hearing it back, I was like, oh, that's not how I normally talk.
But, like, you know what I mean? Guess, like, when you're delivering in a podcast versus when you're delivering for a film, it's completely different.
Yeah.
Morgan Freeman doesn't necessarily talk about the hook like Morgan Freeman as you hear him in films. But you know what I mean? Like, you, like, when you're delivering words for a film, like, you gotta, like, deliver it in a different type of way. You perform it, innit?
But that's why I think that part was so interesting to me, because it was the exclamation mark to say that there's so many ways in which you tell a story and build a story. Because most people think film and it's visuals. It's what you can see. But when we had to go through that process, it really showed me, like, every part of the story is so critical to bring it to life.
Bro, it's so cool.
In the most effective way possible. And that was so fucking interesting to me.
I've got to say, Kwame, your voice is amazing. Oh,
brilliant.
My days.
Sounds great.
Oh, my days.
Brilliant.
Oh, my days.
Even you said that. That'd be so much. A proud Nigerian.
Fam, I was feeling things I shouldn't feel, fam. I was feeling things I shouldn't feel as I hearing your voice, fam.
What did he say?
I don't know.
I'm feeling things I shouldn't feel.
Oh, gosh.
No, but
love that.
No, man, this, bro, it's just like it's just us, really. Like, I'm so excited about what the future holds, innit? I think, like, obviously, it was a unique and a bittersweet experience for me because I wasn't able to be there at the premiere because of a family matter. But I was so, like, so, my heart was full of, like, just pride, innit? Like, yo, this is another milestone. It's like, I can't be there, but I know I'm there and I know that there's love in the air. And people are like, rah, this is amazing. It's like, bro, like, we are talented and wavy, but people can do stuff like that. You understand, innit? Like this is allowing everyone to believe that this was almost a figment of our imagination, and we realized it.
Bro, you understand? Like, there was, I think there was around 100 people.
Yeah.
On a Friday night.
Yeah.
In Amsterdam.
Yeah. On a cold Friday night as well. You know, that's
and I can't believe that we've got to this point. I can and I can't, because, again, you go from, like, us guys having an idea and thinking, like, shit, okay, literally learning on the job to what we see now, I think is just testament to the more than anything, the people that we are. And I think, for me, that would always be the biggest message. Like, if you can be a personable human being, you can connect with others and you can show them your idea.
Yeah.
Some people might, you know, they might throw like the
titles or...
No, not even that. Like, they'll give you their time or they'll give you their resource because they believe in you.
Yeah, that's crazy.
As much as the idea is cool, they believe in you and they really connect with who you are.
One interesting aspect, as you're saying, that just sparked us. We initially called it a vibe. And I think when you go back to the talk about people, like, we have this thing called, like, the vibe check. And I feel like everybody was passing, like, now, seriously, look, you talk about all the connections that we made, but, like, we have a certain vibe which attracts a certain vibe. And when vibes come together, at least the vibrations and stimulations, which obviously led to this. And I thought it was very good that we called
it a legit mathematical equation. There,
come on. It's a frequency, fam. And then that's what led to, like, beautiful that we called it a vibe. And I feel like it really encapsulates the harmonious kind of, like, integration of all of these different people under one idea. Like, everybody was vibing on a particular frequency, and that led to a symphony, a cacophony of sound and visual stimulation.
So as we approach the sunset of this conversation, I'd like to ask each one of you, throughout this process of 3 years, what is the thing that you've learned, number one, learned the most, and number two, what was the most challenging thing about this process?
I think I learned a lot about different aspects of, like, teamwork, sacrificing, and having to, like, let things go. I think, like, you know me. If I want to, if I have something in my head, then that needs to happen. But obviously,
really, wow, I didn't know that.
Obviously, in this process, it's like, okay, cool. You need to, like, reduce yourself so that, like, and see what's around the table. There's times when you come in, times when you're not, times when you just, like, you just got to accept, like, maybe you would have gone in a different direction, but you just accept for the everybody else is feeling this vibe and just kind of continue to roll and keep the ball moving. So it's nice that to see that it was happening in, like, troughs throughout the 3 years. I think we all had moments like that where we're just like, yo, we've got to let this go and let this thing move the way it is. Or so that was an education in terms of having to kind of manage yourself or how you normally would approach this in order for, like, the benefit of, like, fitting in and making sure that we can move forward. I think that I said it on Friday, the most difficult thing was just as we started, it started with, like, four of us, or even started with, like, maybe you and then Kieran, then, you know, you guys spoke to myself and Kwame, and four. It's like this duplication of communication in terms of, like, the amount of people that were getting involved, which led to, like, three or four different WhatsApp groups. And then, like, we all have dipped, like, I said this on during the Q&A to someone else. So I was like, yo, you be doing work, yeah? Or I go and warm food, come back, 90 plus messages. What is going on? Zip files, DOPs, acronyms everywhere. I can't understand it. So sometimes it'll be like a period where it'll be like maybe like slow. We went through like 6 months of maybe like where it was kind of dormant and quiet, and then all of a sudden, boom. Like, sometimes you can come back and you see, like 300 plus across all the different groups. You're like, what is happening? So sometimes it's hard. I found it hard to keep up, which is a good thing because, I mean, things were moving. But at the same time, like, it's daunting to keep up with the pace of it sometimes because it would just bolt. Compared to, like, a horse, sometimes, you know, when you ride a horse and just be bolting, like, you're happy just going.
I don't know what you did in Nigeria.
Yeah, I was thinking. How many times have you ride a
horse? These men acting like they've been horseback. These men... You've never been on a horse?
No, bro.
You've never been
never
on a horse?
No.
You've never been on a horse?
No, sir. No, sir.
I know you've been on a horse.
I've never been on a horse.
You ain't been on a horse?
No,
just
bro.
You, bro.
Nah. I've not been on a horse.
You ain't been on a horse?
Class Nigerian fan.
You ain't been on a horse?
You're the only person in
but
the
I'm
room.
A stallion.
You're the only person. So what minute was this? So
he knows, bro. No. All
right, well, maybe not a horse. Or been in a buggy.
Point received.
Though. Yeah.
How about you guys?
What'd you say? Thing biggest thing you learned, toughest thing throughout the 3 years. I think what I said at the top of the pod about like four different minds, four different like ideas, and trying to sharpen that into one voice, I think was really tough. Working from different locations,
that was
really tough, especially when you're just trying to get shit done, like. Wanting to be on set, then stuff happening. Then we're like going through the process of like approvals and making sure that we're getting the right shots and stuff. So I think that was probably one of the hardest parts, like making sure that we're always aligned. But I think the biggest lesson, I guess, from that is like, we're very capable of doing the things that we put our mind to. And when we really work together, like, the shit is fucking incredible. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I said at the beginning, I was apprehensive about making a film. Like, could make a film tomorrow. Do you know what I mean? Like, really and truly, forgot the idea. Know that us four could deliver that for anybody. Whether that's for us, a brand, partners, like, we could actually go and do this until the cows come home. Mm-hmm. Or horses, in Stephen's cases. But yeah, what about you, Kay?
I would say it's all about understanding, like, two things, like, or for me, like, the greater good. So understanding in a body work like this, especially from four individuals, that's where it came from. But also then when you enlist that to other people, there's going to be some things that you might not be like, but if it's for the greater good of the film and the team, then you have to get behind it. Like, even on Friday, there were discussions about last little details, and it's like, yo, it's like, all right, but we have
for the poster.
No, I didn't. Okay, I didn't.
just so you know, it was very difficult to read the yellow writing in the window.
I'm trying to be diplomatic.
Yeah, let's get to it, bro.
No, but shout out to
this is our debrief. If you didn't know,
shout out to poster boy. Shout out to Joel Santana over here. But no, and then also like having to trust the process, innit? Like understanding that, like, these things take time, but bro, like if you actually plan, not even plan everything out. Cause I remember there was a comical call in January where me and Stephen were like, "Oh, it's coming out this."
Oh month, yeah,
Kieran was like, "Yeah, bro, we were like, what?" Like, bro, like, obviously,
these man didn't know the film was coming out.
No,
bro.
No.
I was this close to changing my flight plans, bro. I was just like, right. Forever.
And it's like just trusting the process and like just knowing that Friday was the beginning of a journey.
Mm.
You know, we'll have other events like that in other places. Facts, and it's just like, yo, like, we have done this. It's so beautiful, but also it's kind of like, it's not out yet. Obviously, it'll be out by the time this podcast is heard, but it's like, we have no idea what reception will be. And it's kind of like a scary, but also a lovely feeling about it. So yeah, I would say just trusting the process and just being, understand like the greater good. Also, I think it's amazing, last thing, that how 3 years of calls, explanations, decks, edits, hiring, firing per se, works out in 14 minutes.
Trust me.
It's crazy. We feel like that. Like, I always used to think like in the Olympics, like 100 meters athletes would train for 4 years to run a 9 second race or 10 second race if you're not a black man. And then...
Didn't you see one last Olympics? 100 meters.
Was it 9 seconds?
From Italy, bro.
Wasn't it? Alright, cool.
Marcel Jacob. Yeah.
Sorry. And I think there's beauty in that. Innit? Like, what I mean, like, trusting the process, like. And just please understand, if something is 60 minutes, there's a lot more than that. Like,
oh, yes. For sure.
A song, a 4-minute song, I could be 3 months in the making. Understand that there's a level to creativity. So, that's it.
I had a question. When I answered this question, that one.
Yeah, really quickly, mine are biggest learning is if you have an idea that is for the greater good, like Kwame said, and is a really compelling idea, people will gravitate towards that and they'll offer you their time, they'll offer you their expertise. And for me, that was something that was so beautiful. It was such a beautiful thing. Mm. People were just like, yeah, like, I'm in. I would love to be a part of this or I would love to support this. Especially when there's no money involved because, you know, we're living in hard times, you know.
Trust me.
People are literally giving us their time for free to help bring this thing to life. So for me, like, the power of an idea was really cemented during this process. And it's something that, again, we've spoken about people a number of times on this conversation. It's so, so important. Like, if you have an idea and you can connect with people, you literally never know how far you can take it. And then my biggest learning is around time. I think I mentioned it on Friday, like, it takes a lot of time, as we just said, to create something like this. It takes a lot of energy. We've all got 9-to-5s. We've all got personal lives. We've got aspirations and things we want to do individually. And then add in another... I think we're just crazy and we'd love to see how far we can push ourselves. But finding the time to all be in the same room or all be on the same call or
having to divide and conquer.
And Kwame's talking to this person, Stephen's talking to this person, et cetera, I think is one of the most difficult things to control.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we got there in the end. There's obviously a lot of things that we changed next if we did it another time. But those are the things that I learned.
Yeah, I had one last question, I guess. Like, what do you hope that people get from watching the film?
Oh, the craziest part to my answer is this is the exact same thing that I said when we launched the podcast. If one person watches this, or listen, in that case, listen to the podcast back then, if one person watches this film and is inspired to pick up a camera... or pick up a pen, or go into some sort of creative, start exploring their creativity even more, job done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't care about the views, I don't care about the flashy stuff, I care about the real reason that we did this, and if it can inspire a young person to explore their creativity, job done for me.
Yeah, I like that. Okay.
Yeah, man, just... Just more of what Yaf said, like, just are people understanding that, like, this was a lot of hard work, but it came from, like, drive and, you know, people can, I want people to be inspired to do something in it. I think for my, it doesn't have to be creativity. It could be something like, yo, I really want to take this DIY course in it. You understand? Like, just believe that a target can be achieved, because this, we didn't know 3 years ago this was what happened. But I would just say, like, just to believe in yourself and others.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
What about you, Steven?
Basically, those that didn't know what DLP is, if they know that'd be great. And then also, moving on from this, with someone sitting there watching it, wants to try something or had an idea that they show, and this has inspired them to look back at that and go and connect with people and make that happen. Basically, people looking at this and taking an action and applying it into their own situation and just using this as their harnessing their zhuzh.
Harnessing their zhuzh. Yeah, man. I agree with all of you. I think, like, just the inspiration to go and do something. And I love the fact that, like, we've given... young creators, but also creators. When I say young creators, I don't mean like by age. I mean just by like application and experience. Mm-hmm. Young creators, the inspiration to go out and go and actually do something, and show them that there are possibilities away from the quote unquote creative roles that you might think are like the cliche. And you're gone.
No, I was going to ask you me the question again.
Enough.
No. Oh gosh.
No, there wasn't.
It wasn't. Was it on?
Definitely wasn't.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I thought it was off.
I'm sure we might have picked it up.
Yeah.
If you missed Stephen's answer, Stephen, please let us know what you would hope.
Yes.
For people to get from this film.
My thumb slipped.
It's fine, bro.
Yeah. So I would hope that anybody that's like forgotten an idea, left it in a drawer, I hope that this encourages them to revisit that, go pick up and make that belief that they can kind of bring that idea back to life, or not to abandon those seeds of creativity, because as you'll see in the film, creativity is in all of us and there's no such thing as a bad idea. It just needs to be harnessed, watered, finessed and nurtured. So that's what I said the first time around, just in case.
Your attention for actually the things that you say is really good, really dope. Yeah, that's it, man. That's it. Shit, sign off.
Sign away, man.
You've been listening to the iPhone podcast with Kieran, Kwame, Yaf, and Stephen. Please let us know what you think of the film where it's out. That should be out now. You can find it on our YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Out of Home Worldwide.
Yes. And our Vimeo channel.
Out of Home.
I believe,
yeah. Yeah. Share that. Please. Yeah, around the
casting. And now we're going into film production, but don't forget the podcast. Drop that a little rating or two.
Yeah, please.
No, don't be shy. Loosen up the things Nana, the stars.
Please give us a rating right now, please. Oh, thank you.
We need some stars up in here.
Much peace. Love, man. Peace.
Peace.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.